Hey, this is Billy Claudio. I'm the pastor of Oasis Community Church, and this is our podcast. I wanted to thank you for joining us today. I hope this inspires you. I hope it builds your faith, and I hope you find freedom today through the gospel. Enjoy the message.
I'm actually going to do something a little bit different today. If you could, if you would with me, would you all just stand to your feet for a moment? We're going to read together Romans chapter 12, if I can get my, there it goes. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Isn't the Lord faithful? I want you to know something, that God has given each of us a special gift and a special purpose for each other. I want to encourage you today that God's plans for you, his purpose for you, cannot be revoked by some of our mistakes. We might feel like we're not good enough. We might feel at times that we're not worthy enough. But I want you to know that God sees you as perfect. He sees you, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I want you to know that he loves you incredibly much. Amen. Well, before you're seated, why don't you turn to someone, shake them in the hand, say you look good today, and you may be seated. Good job, Carrie. Thank you so much for reading. You know, we've been delving into the book of Romans for like 16 years now. And, maybe since, when did we start this? December? Something like that. About December of 2004, we started the book series in Romans. And, I love the book of Romans. You know what's amazing about the book of Romans is that as Paul was writing, he was writing to a church that was relatively new in Rome, a Gentile church, not a Roman or not a synagogue or a Jewish church, but a church filled with people like us. In other words, non-Jews. That's what a Gentile means. And he was writing to them in such a way, and it's an interesting book because some people might feel, oh man, this is, what does he mean by that? And you aren't alone if you feel that way. Jason, you're not alone because you might be asking some of those questions. Like, man, what does this mean about this? And Jason got to teach our men's group last Wednesday, and he asked the question, what does this mean? And it's a pertinent question, and it's one that we should always ask ourselves anytime we read the Bible. What does this mean? Not only does it mean for me, but what does it mean, period? Because a lot of times the application, like, how do I use what I just learned, right? But Paul, his letters can be interesting at times. And Romans is one of them. In fact, Peter, the Apostle Peter, was writing to a church, and he said, I love the, basically I'm going to summarize, the Pastor Joshua translation. Apostle Paul, he's good and all, but he's deep. And sometimes what he says is hard to digest. And that's basically what Peter said about Paul. And so if you feel like I'm not quite understanding what Paul is saying in this epistle or letter to the church, you're not alone. Even the Apostle Peter had to ask questions as well. And I believe when we see in the book of Galatians, the interaction between Peter and Paul, I bet you they had some conversations. Hey, like, what did you mean about that? Oh, that was so good. What did you think about this? And I bet you they picked each other's minds apart when they traveled together briefly. And but I'm so thankful for Pastor Billy. Amen? Aren't you thankful for Pastor Billy? Because he's able to take the concepts of Romans, and he takes it and he brings it to all of us in a way that we can easily understand and then apply to our lives. Did you know that the Bible is not just written to first century people? It actually is applicable to you and I today, amen? And it is a good, good book. So the first thing I'm going to talk to you about today, obviously I'm in Romans chapter 12, and some of you might be asking who I am, so I'm just going to get a real brief introduction. I'm Pastor Joshua. Nice to meet you. Romans chapter 12 is actually the beginnings, is a section of the book of Romans, or the letter of Romans, that begins the personal responsibility section of the book. And it goes all the way to the beginning of chapter 15. And basically, Romans chapter 12 through the beginning of Romans chapter 15 is talking about those who follow Jesus. And at the beginning of Romans chapter 15, it gets into how Jesus acted, how Jesus was, his character, his nature. And then Romans chapter 12, we go back and we see why we act the way Paul says to act, because it mimics Jesus. Did you know the word Christian means Christ follower? Right? So if we are Christ followers, disciples of Christ, in other words, someone who's learning, who's being taught by Jesus, that means that we should probably act like Jesus says to act, right? Probably means that we should look not like Jesus looked in the first century, but his character, look like his character. We don't have to get, like, you know, those dresses or robes that you see in, like, the Passion and stuff like that. I'm not talking about his physical appearance, unless you want to grow your hair long. Where's the dude with the long hair? Homie, you got lustrous hair. There you are. You guys got beautiful hair. And the beard's going on. Dude, you like Jesus right now. You look like Jesus. That's nice. Anyway, I can't grow long hair. It, like, does a whole mop thing, so it's crazy. But anyway, that's why I have, like, 6 gallons of gel in my hair right now, just to hold it in place, because I do not look like Jesus. But I want to act like Jesus, amen? But anyway, so we're in Romans chapter 12. The first thing that I'm going to talk to you today about is that you and I are to be living sacrifices. That's what we just read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We are to be living sacrifices. And as the question on Wednesday was asked to all the men, what does that even mean? Can we just skip that? Can we just kind of move over to that? I mean, do you want me to literally stick myself up on an altar like the Jews used to do in the Old Testament and sacrifice myself? Is that what you're asking me, Paul, in this moment? And how are you even a living sacrifice? What does that even mean? How can you be a living dead thing? That doesn't make sense to me. And so let me first off describe something to you. And for some of you, it might be the first time that you've heard this. For others, it might be old news. But I want you to know that you and I are a triune being. What does that mean? It means that we are made up of three parts. Number one, you and I are a spirit. We were made in the image of God, and God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. He made us in his image. It doesn't mean, even though I might have incredible hair, that my hair does not look like God's. My beard might be shiny and lustrous, but my beard doesn't look like God. It's my spirit that looks like God. And if you haven't discovered beard oil yet, guys, beard oil, telling you, it's wonderful. But no matter how much beard oil I use, it won't look like God's beard. You know why? Because God's not a man. Bible says that. He's not a man that he should lie. So he is a spirit. You and I are a spirit. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And you and I live in a body. When God created man, he breathed the spirit of man into the body that he had created on earth. We are made in his image. We have a body, we live in a body, and we have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. So saying that, when it says a living sacrifice, and I love the definition on Wednesday, what is a living sacrifice? In Crossroads, according to Jason, I didn't even look it up, Jason, wherever you are. I didn't look it up. I'm taking your word that Crossroads said this online, that it is a daily sacrifice, daily moment by moment, living a life pleasing to the Lord. And that's great and all, but a living sacrifice, I want to take it a step further to then just laying yourself down. Because that's kind of what we think or when we Google things, right? But can I take it a step forward? A living sacrifice. You and I have been made alive in Jesus. Our spirit man, you can think of it this way. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Who's ever sung like an old hymn about death? You know, I was alive, I was dead, but now I'm alive, right? We've heard that concept a lot. A living sacrifice is who you are laying down as a sacrifice, your flesh, your desires, your carnality, the lower nature, your base nature. What do I mean by that? Who's ever had a desire or a thing go on in their life that you're just feeling like it's something that you gotta hide, you're ashamed of? Maybe it's a habit that you have, a past pain that you might have experienced, and it's something that you do not want to give to God, let alone share with anyone else, not even God. Like, has anybody ever had something like that happen to them or something in them, right? To be like everybody can't, okay. Pastor Gene, I need to explain something to the audience real quick. Well, this is the first time you've all heard me here at Oasis, right? It's my honor to be here. I was a youth pastor for 18 years. And as a youth pastor of 18 years, there were certain habits that flew into every time I preached. Number one, I learned to preach from Southern Baptists. I love watching Southern Baptists, hellfire and brimstone preachers, right? And they can get loud, they can get boisterous. But then I discovered, like, you know, the charismatics. And I started studying some charismatics. So I can get loud, I preach a little bit. And you know what's wild? I'm okay with you doing it back at me. If I get loud, I'm okay with you guys getting a little hanky that you might have brought. It's okay. You can wave it at me. You know what's also okay? If you say amen. And here's the thing. If I ask you a question, I'm okay with you answering. So that's a premise that I needed people to know about me. I'm more of a kind of a loud, I might jump. If you feel like getting up and doing a Jericho march, who's ever even seen a Jericho march, right? Right? Come on, where's the Assemblies of God people in here? The Jericho march, we're going to do it. Or maybe a Word of Faith run, you got to do it. Or a Church of God in Christ run, you go run. I'm okay with that. But I like interactions with people, right? I don't want you to just come and hear my dissertation. It's not my master's program or my doctorate, right? I want you guys to interact with me. I want you to get something out of it. And I truly believe that God has something for each of you here today. I believe that if you'll open your mind, you'll open your heart, you're going to receive something, even from this charismatic preacher today. And I believe that it will be something that will transform the way that you see yourself and the way that you live your life. Amen. Hey, there's the Southern Baptists out there. All right. So what exactly is a living sacrifice? We as a spirit being, right, I explained that, are laying down our carnality. And that might look like a pain that you experienced as a kid. That might look like an addiction to cinnamon rolls, right? Like me, I have limited myself because I know myself, right? I think Pastor Gene and I have spoken about this in depth. My love for cinnamon rolls. And the more you guys get to know me, the more that you will know I have a thing for cinnamon rolls. If you go through my search history on Instagram, you will be inundated with every single different type of cinnamon roll ever made and how to do so. Like, I love watching cinnamon rolls be made. I love the smell of them. I love the feel of the dough in my hands, and I've never even experienced that before. I can feel it every time I watch a video on Instagram how to make cinnamon rolls. I love it. You could call me a reformed cinnamon roll addict, right? Thank you, Nate. I love them. And you know what I had to do? I had to lay that down. You know why? Because cinnamon rolls also give me heartburn. What kind of devilish thing is this? The best substance in the world gives me heartburn? You know what? That's probably because I had one too many. And so I limit myself now, because I'm a living sacrifice, I limit myself to one cinnamon roll a year. Living sacrifice, yeah. I know, be impressed. Be impressed. But you know what? Whatever it is that you might be struggling with, whatever area of your life that you might be holding on to and you don't want to give that to God, I guarantee you, you know what happened when I gave up my cinnamon rolls to God? You know what happened? I don't have heartburn. immediate miracle, right? But whatever area that you might need, whatever area in your life that you've been experiencing, maybe not death, but maybe a hiddenness or pain, a hurt, something that you've been holding on, I want you to know that being a living sacrifice, giving it unto God, that's what a sacrifice is, something that is given unto God. I want you to know that you can trust him with it. The shame that you might have been holding on to, I want you to know that God is okay with it. And that he can handle it. The anger you might even have at him. Before I was saved, I used to swear at God. What? Oh yeah, I'd shake my fist and swear at him. Like vulgar words. You know what? God could handle it. I don't recommend it. To this day, I cringe. But you know what? God can handle it. And you know what he did? He handled it, and he held it, and he took it, and he transformed it to where my hatred turned into joy. Like I was talking to the staff, and we were talking about and finding out certain things, and they found out certain aspects of me. You know what? I'm as gentle as a dove now. You wouldn't know me from who I was. You know why? Because I gave something to God, and he transformed it. And that leads me to my next thing. So at the very end of Romans chapter 12, I want you guys to look at something real quick. If you can throw up Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The very end of it, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, right? But which is your spiritual worship. You see that word spiritual? It's actually the word that is not there. Spiritual worship is actually one word in Greek. It just means worship. The word there, that's actually there, instead of spiritual worship, is logiko. Is the Greek word logiko. Means logical. And the word worship or spiritual worship that you're seeing there is actually a word that means ministering unto God. That's what worship. When we worship here in church, when we're singing our songs to the Lord, not just about him, we're ministering to him, right? When you're loving on someone and you're feeding the homeless, you're taking care of widows and helping, orphans and all the fun stuff that James talks about in the book of James that says religion is this, right? You're ministering to them. But did you know you can minister to the Lord? And that's what it's talking about. So when you're giving your body up, your spirit, who is in control, it's who you are. It's what makes decisions, right? You don't want your body controlling, you know, otherwise I'd be as big as a house and I'd have cinnamon roll in my beard right now, right? My body doesn't control me. I control my body. That's what living sacrifice is. But then it goes into my logical ministering to the Lord or my logical worship. It immediately goes into the three-part being. I am a spirit, I live in a body, and I have a mind, will, and emotions. Let's go to verse 2. Wow, that was deep. I'm sorry. We're going to get into this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, transformed. Everybody say transformed. Transformers, more than meets the eye. Right? And every 90s geek is geeking out right now, and I'm okay with that. But be transformed by the renewal of your what? Mind. Your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. This is what Paul was talking about. When you are wanting to be transformed, the word transformed is the Greek word metamorphosis. And you probably are looking at me right now and wondering why on earth I have such a flowery shirt on. Well, if you look amongst the flowers, there's butterflies. And metamorphosis is what a caterpillar does when it turns into a butterfly. And so I thought, what better day? I wear it once every 3 years, than to wear my butterfly shirt that my wife bought me and dared me one day, right?
You need to preach in that shirt.
Okay. I'll preach in that shirt. Right? Right? Metamorphosis. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind so you can discern what is the will of God. You can know how to be a living sacrifice and have a transformed mind. This is all applicable. This all ties in to what Pastor Billy has been talking about. Pastor Billy last week talked about how do we hear the voice of God? How do we know his thoughts? Because we have the mind of Christ. And who reveals the mind of Christ to us? The Spirit of God. This is what I want you all to know here. When your mind is renewed and you're living and laying down your fleshly tendencies, the pain that you've been holding on to, the addictions that you might have held on to and you haven't wanted to give up, when you lay it down and you transform your mind, your thoughts, your will, your desires suddenly and easily become connected to the heart, the mind, and the will of God. It's very interesting, and because they're like, well, how do you do that? That seems really hard to do that. Daily. You want me to lay myself down daily. Well, my kids once said, who's ever heard of the game Fortnite? Anyone? Fortnite, right? Only everybody under the age of 40. And if you raise your hand and you're over 40, you it's okay. You live like a 40-year-old, and that's positive. Good for you. And but my kids, when they started playing Fortnite, you know, they're having a hard time playing it. And at the time, Ninja was a he was a video gamer that like records himself, and people pay him to play a video game so they can watch him play a video game. His name was Ninja. He was the best Fortniter, right? And every Fortnite player knows of him. You know what they say about him now? Oh, he's trash. You know why? Because when they first started playing, he was the best. And they weren't very good. I mean, it took them a while to build the walls. It's like a cartoon game where you shoot people, but you can build walls to block the bullets. Like, what world is this we live in? And but they weren't good at it. In their words, they were trash. But now, like 52 years later, like they're experts. In fact, the game's boring to them because it got so easy. My point is this. The longer you do something, at the beginning it was hard, but the longer you do it, what happens? The easier it becomes. Can I put before you maybe it's not hard to submit to God. It's not hard to give him that area of your life you've never wanted to. Can I put it before you that it's actually easy? How do I know that? Because you know what? I have been eating one cinnamon roll a year for years now. And it's not hard to not have cinnamon rolls. I look forward to that day on my birthday when I can have a cinnamon roll. And we go out and have cinnamon roll for my birthday. That's what we do, celebrate my birthday every year. It's not hard to abstain from cinnamon rolls. Even though they're sitting there and they smell so good. And Instagram suddenly has a new feature that it actually produces scent that comes through the screen and you can smell it. Who's ever experienced that? You guys see that new feature? I every time I watch a cinnamon roll video, it happens. So I'm telling you, it's a great feature. Good job, Instagram. The longer you do something, the easier it becomes. And in fact, the more you do it, the more your heart beats like God's. The more your thoughts start lining up with his thoughts. And no longer is it a sacrifice, it's just your life. Now you're just living. And what was hard because it was called a sacrifice now becomes a discipline. Now becomes a conviction. Now becomes a part of who you are and it becomes your identity. Instead of looking in the mirror every day where you were saying you're no good, you're lousy. You're never going to succeed. Or the things that you might have said about yourself because maybe your parents said it about you or someone, maybe a teacher in school. Whatever the case, no longer are you quoting those thoughts. But now you're starting to quote what Scripture says. You're starting to quote that. In fact, the word metamorphosis is found in more verses. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being what? Transformed
into the same image. Did you know God wants to transform you more and more into his image? Now, I don't mean like your physique. I don't mean your facial structure. I mean how you live, how you act, how you think, who you are, your character. The more that you're with Jesus and the more you focus on Jesus, the more you start looking like it. Like my wife and I. My wife and I, when we first got married, we were night and day difference, right? And now we dress the same at times. We eat the same food without thinking. Like, we finish each other's... Oh, she didn't do it. I was hoping she was going to say sentences, but she didn't, right? We do these things. We've been married almost 20 years, and we the more that we're together, the more I want to look like her. And I don't mean physically. I mean act like her because I admire her. The more that I'm around her, the more that I want to, oh, man, I just want to do what makes her happy. I love it when she smiles. Why? Because that's called relationship. Because the more I'm with her, the more I do with her, the more I do for her, the more I want. The more I want to satisfy, the more that I start acting, and the more, and it's the same with her towards me. See, the more, like this whole thing is not a religion. Maybe that's the first you've ever heard about that. Christianity was never made to be a religion. It never was. It was never to replace Judaism. It never was. Jesus came to revolutionize our thinking because Judaism became a religion. And it never was meant for that. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. You know what the religious aspect of Christianity is? It's found in the book of James. Taking care of widows. Feeding the orphans. There you go. Only time religion is ever actually mentioned. Religion is something you act upon or do. It's not who you are. You and I are children. If you call on the name of Jesus, if you ask him to be your Lord and your Savior, you become a part of a family. Like my son, he was born with a Pinkston last name. My wife had to take it on, but my son was born into it. It's not something that she has to do. It's not something my son has to do. It's who he is. Who you are is a son and a daughter of the King of Kings. That's who you are. Metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. You know, Jesus wants you and I to experience transformation in our lives. And in fact, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, it says, he was transfigured before them. And his face, when he went up onto that mountain with his disciples, right, his inner circle, he was transfigured in front of them, before their eyes. That word transfigured is the same word for transformation, metamorphosis. Jesus wants you to experience metamorphosis. He wants you to experience transformation. He experienced transformation in that moment, and the glory that he had in heaven was unveiled before them. And they saw him as he was, in all his glory, all of his glory. You know, God wants that for you. He wants you to be unveiled before the world. He wants you to be unveiled before people. Metamorphosis, like that caterpillar that's in a cocoon. He does not see you as a caterpillar at all. He sees you as the butterfly. You are not larva. Isn't that good news? I went to church today and learned I was not larva. No, I'm a beautiful butterfly. I told Hal that I was going to buy him some butterfly wings. I think he would look good next week with butterfly wings. Manly Hal. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. When you accept the life of Christ, when you accept Jesus, when you accept that you can be a living sacrifice and renew your mind, guess what? He's reminding you and revealing to you that the old has passed away. Your former identity of coward or addict or no good or loser or whatever these identities that you have said about yourself or others have said about you are no longer the case. You are no longer a sinner. You are no longer unworthy. You are now, let's go to the next verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Oh, I already said it. I don't have it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is what happens when the old has passed away, the new has come. He no longer sees you as that caterpillar. He now sees you as his righteousness. He says about you, he says, you are righteous. And I don't mean the 80s righteous. Like that was a word in the 80s, like righteous, right? Like, no, he actually meant that you are the righteousness of God. I see you as right. I don't see you as a mistake. I don't see you as a loser. I don't see you as those things. I see you as righteous. I see you as beautiful. I see you as perfect. I see you. I know you. And you're not a mistake. You're not broken. Good job. That was a very good job, clapping and saying amen. I want you to know that some of you in here, someone in here, might be feeling that they're not good enough, that they're not worthy enough, that something's happened, that you feel that you could never amount to anything. I want you to know you're looking at this whole thing through the veil of religion, not relationship. Because if someone in my family messes up, you know what we do? We don't kick them out of the family. We cover them. We protect them. Right? When you stub a toe, do you cut your toe off? Please say no. No. You protect it. You put a boot on, steel toe boot. You cover it. You protect it. God wants you to know that because you have made mistakes, listen, all of us have. Jesus is the only one that did not. It says the wages of sin is death. That's why it says that we're living sacrifices. When we put to death these things or when we made mistakes, Jesus came and he says, I was the first one. I was the ultimate sacrifice. There's no more need for a sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice animals and it would cover the people's sin. In other words, it would cover it so it wasn't seen by God. That was the symbolism of it. Did you know that when Jesus died, his blood didn't cover your sin? Your sin is not covered by Jesus' blood. It's washed away. His blood does not cover. It cleanses. Your sin is not attached to you. It's been washed away from you. Stop looking at yourself like you're a caterpillar and start seeing you like he sees you. Because he's made you perfect. He's made you the righteousness of God. This is the life of the believer. This is who we are. You are not defeated. You are not a loser. I don't understand the mentality because it's not the same Bible that I'm reading. It's not the words of Jesus that I'm hearing. How can you say these things about you for the one that Jesus paid the ultimate price for? He paid it all for you. Everything that he did was for you. He created you for one reason. Not so you could worship him. Not so you could serve him. Not so you could tithe. Like some of us think that we're just good enough for our action and that's all that God loves us for. No, he made you for one reason and one reason alone. To be loved. God is love and made you to be filled with his love. Don't feel like God needs something from you. He doesn't. He just wants you. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. So how do we renew our mind? We kind of heard some great encouraging things, but how do we actually renew our mind then? That's a question. Anyone? Bueller? Cut out the world? Okay. Bueller? Anyone? Read the word? Okay, that's a good one too. Absolutely. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 says, and it's talking about an analogy about how husbands should love their wives, which is a great chapter. Every husband should read it, should memorize it. But in this moment, he's comparing how a husband should love his wife to how Jesus loves you and I. Because the church, the word church translated, I'm going to go into history right now. Let's go back to Martin Luther. Martin Luther, when he translated the Bible into the common language of German at the time, translated the word ecclesia, which what we translated as the church. He translated it from ecclesia into Kirche, which is a German word for a place where people are gathered, a gathering place. It's how he translated it. He translated it falsely, and it got stuck in English. And I'm not saying the Bible's wrong, because it's not. In Greek, the word is ekklesia, and it doesn't mean a building where we gather. It means the gathered ones. So when Jesus said the ekklesia, he was talking about you and I who are gathered together. So when he said, when he might sanctify her, he's talking about the church, you and I, not the building. He's not talking about cleaning the walls of a building. He's talking about you and I. And yes, it's in the feminine form, because if you look at the word for church, it's a feminine vow. It's a feminine word. It does not mean gender. It's just saying that. So when he says that he might sanctify her, guys, don't get upset at me. Come on now. If men can be the bride of Christ, then women can be sons of God. Just saying. I mean, it has nothing to do with gender. It's all about wording in translation. So don't get upset at any of it. It has nothing to do with your political ideals. It has nothing to do with that. So having cleansed her by the washing of water with the what? Word. So we are washed and we are renewed in our mindset and our thoughts by what? The word. Now, I know I've gone a little bit deep. I do that once in a while. The word here for word, in Greek, there's two words for word. One is logos and one is rhema. Logos means the written or the thought of a word. Rhema means the spoken or an utterance word. That's what they two mean. So when it says here, and this is what was interesting to me, the sanctify you by the washing of the word, we all want to immediately say, well, we read our Bible, and that is absolutely correct. But it doesn't stop there. Rhema takes the logos and makes it verbal. So when it says that to renew our mind, we are cleansed by the washing of water with the word, it's the word that is spoken. And this is something that I want us believers to understand. That if you're not speaking the word of God, it's not as effective in your life as it could be. If you're wanting to renew your mind, let me actually do a demonstration real quick. Everyone I want in this room, I want you to think of a purple giraffe. Purple giraffe. Do you have it in your mind? Are you thinking about a purple giraffe right now? Bearded man? No? Yeah, I'm looking at you. No? He's not thinking of a purple giraffe. You are now, though. Guarantee it. In the back row, you got, Caitlin, are you thinking of a purple giraffe? You are now, right? Purple giraffe. Now, I want everybody to say this out loud with me. Pink elephant. Pink elephant. Pink elephant. Pink elephant. What are you thinking about right now? You were here first service. All you right brain thinkers. What happens when you speak? How did God create the world? Oh, he spoke it. He rhema'd it. He spoke it. So how do you deal with your problems? You speak it. You answer the problem with the answer, which is the Logos, the written word of God, the thought of God. So you speak this right here. My Bible is one of my most favorite and treasured possessions. I have a Bible. This is my brand new Bible, so it doesn't quite look like me yet. But my Bible that I've been using since 2002, it smells like coffee. It's falling apart. It smells like garlic, blood, sweat, and tears. All of those things mixed into one interesting scent that every time I open it, that's what my Bible smells like. I love that Bible. It's got notations all through it. It's actually got pages ripped out that have been taped back in, perfectly taped together because I'm meticulous. And it is, you would see it, it is trashed. And you'd be like, why do you keep this? Because this is my study Bible. This is what I use to read. I'm trying to break this thing in, but it's just so nice that I'm having a hard time breaking it in like I did my other one. But you know why that Bible is so broken in? Because I consume it. I live it. I read it. I speak it. Every day, Pastor? Yeah, every day. Every day. Living sacrifice. The daily thing. Jason, where are you? Every day, living daily for Jesus. I made a habit of reading this every stinking day. Every day. Well, that's because you're a pastor. I was doing that when I got saved. I didn't become a pastor for years until after that. It has nothing to do with a title. It has everything to do with the relationship that I have with Jesus. And I realized because of my past and the problems that always kept trying to creep up in my life that I needed something that was the answer to my problems. And I found out God had the answer and he wrote it down in a book called the Bible. And then I discovered something years after that I needed to start speaking the word of God. Did you know Satan cannot hear your thoughts? God can, but Satan can't. So when you're like dealing with problems, like I had a thing where last week that I was just kicking myself for something. And I was just kicking myself over and over. I can't believe I did that. I acted so stupid, blah, blah, blah. And I realized that it turned from that into something more. Where I started actually like thinking thoughts that definitely were not for me. Because the enemy knew it because I was speaking out loud some of these things. And the enemy came in and he said, you're not good enough and you're never going to be good enough. And he started doing these things. But because I had the word, David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I had the word and I immediately knew that it was not from me. It was definitely not from God. And so I said, in the name of Jesus, you stop. And I commanded the devil to stop. And you know what? I didn't have those thoughts. Those thoughts immediately stopped because I used the rhema of the Logos. You and I have the ability and the gift of God's word for our life. And if we renew our mind, if we decide that we want to be living sacrifices, where we're laying these things and saying, Jesus, I want you to have all of me. Because I tell you this, that when you give your all to Jesus, it's not something big and hard, and it's something that's not difficult. It's something enjoyable. Like when I got married to my wife, I gave all of her to me. She knows all my secrets. She knows all of my idiosyncrasies. She knows everything about me. You know what? She loves me more because of it. The more you give to Jesus, the more he's able to use. The more you give to Jesus, the more your transformation can take place from being a caterpillar, the metamorphosis, coming out of a cocoon and living your life. You were never made to be stuck on a tree in a cocoon. You were made to fly. And this is what I want you to know. God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. And he's given you beautiful, wonderful gifts. And in verses 3-8, it talks about those gifts being used for the edification of the body. How do I know that? Because it ties in with Ephesians 4:11. The edification of the body. He gave you something because someone needs you. He trusts you enough that he gave someone else, or someone else has a need, and he trusts you enough to fill that need. It might be someone in this room. It might be someone in your life. But you're not useless. You're not broken. God has gifted you something remarkable. You know why? Because you are remarkable. You are more than enough. Because you're in Him, in the one who's more than enough. Amen? That's how much He loves you. Now I'm going to ask something. If everybody would just close their eyes for a second, I have a question that I want to ask. Maybe you're in here and you might be saying, man, this whole thing is kind of new to me. You're saying it's not a religion, it's a relationship. That's a new idea for me, Pastor Josh. Like, this whole Jesus thing is new to me. But you know what? I want it. If you're in here and you want to make Jesus a part of your life, if you want a relationship with God who created all things and loved you so much that He gave His only Son to die for you in your place, now's your moment. Nobody's looking around, but I want everybody in this place. I don't care if you've prayed this prayer 20,000 times. I want everybody in this place. Every time someone prays this prayer, I always pray with them. But if you want Jesus right now, I'm going to give you the opportunity. You know, the Bible says that if you mix faith or what you believe with what you say, power ignites in you. And the word will start working in your life. So if you're wanting to have a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to say something with me. Just repeat after me. And I want you to know that God is going to come in and He's going to make you brand new. Brand new. So if everybody would say this with me. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to live His life, to die on a cross, and to rise from the dead just for me. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of all my sin. Make me a child of God. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. I want you right now to know right now that God and the angels in heaven, everybody in heaven is throwing a party right now. If you said that prayer and you're online watching, I want you to know there's power even where you are, that God wants to come in and transform your life, that God believes so much that your life is matters, that He gave His only Son for you. And if you're in here and you're needing something, I believe that as you go and you believe and you act on it and say, God, whatever it is that you have for me, I want it. And as you go your way this week, I want you to know that God has transformation that will impact your life forever. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. I really hope God moved in your heart today. And if you're in the Scottsdale area, I'd love for you to come and visit our campus on one of our Sunday services. You can find details to our service times on our website. I also want to thank our faithful givers. By giving towards our podcast, you're able to help us reach people from all over the world for Christ and fulfill the mission of Oasis, which is to love God, love life, and love people. God bless.